This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
Hello, Portland. My name is James, and this is my friend Josiah. Today, we have a special guest from the Maurice Lucas Foundation, Miss Sheila, the program director. Josiah will start us off with the first question.
Hi, Sheila. What made you decide to join the Maurice Lucas Foundation?
Hi, James and Josiah. It's nice to be here with you today. Thank you for inviting me in. Lots of things made me think about joining the Maurice Lucas Foundation. I'd been in Memphis, Tennessee for about 7 years, an Oregonian by heart, had been here all the rest of my life, had a little stint in Memphis, Tennessee, and worked there at a charter school as a teacher and a program director and a principal. And I really decided when I came back home, I didn't want to work in public schools anymore. I had been a public school teacher here in Oregon for almost 30 years, and I really felt like I wanted to work with an organization, an educational organization, in a different way. So I started looking for nonprofits, educational nonprofits, where I could bring all my educational background and provide opportunities to all students, whatever their situation, in a way that I just didn't feel I could do in the public schools.
So, what are your goals at the Maurice Lucas Foundation? Like, you specifically, also, well, the goals of the foundation as well.
Well, thank you, James. We have lots of goals. Let me start by saying that the Maurice Lucas Foundation Academy program begins in middle school with sixth graders, and then we follow those students clear through high school, and then even in through post-high. And post-high looks like all sorts of different things. It looks like, you know, vocational school, vocational training. It might look like a two-year college, a four-year college, going right into the workforce or the military. But our goals are really to provide transformational opportunities for students in our program. So our middle school program students, in fact, are just next Wednesday going on a field trip to the University of Oregon. And so we try to get our middle school students on university campuses so they can imagine themselves there. And they can think about what it would be like to go to college and see themselves as a college student. So we get to go to the University of Oregon athletic facilities. We get to sit in on some business classes. We get to talk with a student panel, and we get a tour of the college campus. So our middle school program also consists of character development. We have seven pillars in our program. And so we do a lot of curriculum around those seven pillars. And then we also have academic support and physical activity. So our program in middle school is Monday through Thursday. And then in high school, we follow students, whatever high school they go to in the Portland Public Metropolitan Area. And there we provide individual tutoring if a student needs that. We have seminars where students learn about how to write college application essays, how to build a high school resume, so they're really setting themselves up for opportunities for post-high, whatever those might be. We have guest speakers. We have opportunities for parents to learn about the FAFSA program for students who are going to college. I just do check-ins with the students in high school. And then new to our high school curriculum are job shadows. And so we're looking to make sure that all our students have an opportunity to for a day job shadow in a career interest that they might be thinking about.
How long are you planning on being in the foundation?
Well, I'm 60. And I can't imagine retiring yet, although a lot of my friends are already doing that. I think I feel young because I've worked around young people all my life. And I'm excited about what's happening in the Maurice Lucas Foundation. We're looking at expanding within schools and adding new schools all the time. We're looking at going to cities where Maurice Lucas played and trying to have academies in each of those cities. So there's a lot of plans ahead of us, and I'd really like to be involved in all those. So could be a long time.
So what are the benefits of joining the Maurice Lucas Foundation? Like, you know, like if any parents send their kids up for it?
Mm-hmm. So lots of benefits, opportunities for kids, right? To go to college campuses, to have job shadows. But there's also other opportunities. For example, we often get tickets to the Blazer games, and so we send our families to Blazer games. Last year, I think we got some tickets to a couple concerts, and so it's kind of always on a first-come, first-served basis. But we really, really enjoy the opportunity to provide a family night out. You know, that's really hard nowadays, as expensive as everything is, and we don't always get to be together as a family, whatever that family looks like. So we're excited to be able to provide some of that. Other benefits include scholarships. We have two different scholarship opportunities. One is the Howard Hettinger Memorial Scholarship, and that scholarship is a $5,000 scholarship when students complete our program sixth grade through high school, as long as they have met all the requirements for that. Then they automatically will have $5,000 for their post-high experience. And then there is another scholarship opportunity. It's the Wings Jordan Brand Scholarship. And we are one of, I believe it's six nonprofits in the state of Oregon, 32 in the nation, who have an opportunity for one of our students to earn a GAP scholarship each year. And so what that means is if a student's financial situation is that they are unable to pay any money for college, federal financial aid doesn't come through, any of that, then the Wings Scholarship will pick up all of their college education. But let's say a family is able to contribute $20,000 a year, but it's $40,000 a year for a student to go to a particular college, then the Wing Scholarship will pick up that gap, which would be that $20,000. So we have one student each year who is able to earn that opportunity.
That actually does kind of tie into one of the questions we have here, which is what are some of the scholarship requirements?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So consistency in program in middle school. Right? Attendance, you know, being there, participating, engaging in all aspects of the program. We all know that middle school years are challenging, right? We like our students to be there and be consistent with their attendance. In high school, our students are required to keep a 3.0 GPA for the scholarship. They're required to do community service. So our ninth graders have to do 10 hours, our 10th graders 20 hours, our 11th graders 30 hours, and our seniors have to do 100 hours. Whoops, 40 hours. Woo, that would be a lot, 100 hours.
Woo, crazy.
40 hours of community service. And then just connecting, right, staying involved. We like We like our students to either go back and tutor at the middle school or participate. We have a lot of events that we do, and we love to have our high school kids there participating and giving back during those events.
Well, I do remember from my trips at the to the basketball games that when people get good grades in the when people get good grades, they're actually able to sit with the players for a bit.
Ooh, well, James, I don't know if that still gets to happen, but I'll speak to David Lucas on that one.
Well, yeah, as long as David's there.
Yeah,
I remember Khalil sitting with the players.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool. Well, now we have, you know, periodically we have 10 tickets, sometimes 20 tickets to different levels, 200 level and 300 level seating at the games. And so it's really great to be able to send families. Speaking of families, the one other thing I did want to mention is a couple things. One, we are able to provide some family financial assistance. So this happened during COVID, you know, when we had a lot of guardians who were out of work, and you know, it was just sometimes maybe difficult to pay utility bills or transportation issues and concerns. We had some very generous donors who provided some funds for us to be able to give some relief to parents through the Family Financial Assistance Program, and we are continuing that program. And we also brought back basketball camps, so free basketball camps. This last summer, we had two free basketball camps. We did one down in Salem, which was great. I believe it was third graders through 10th graders for that one, for the Salem community. And we had I think we had 130 students register for that one. And then we did one at Park Rose Middle School, where we do have a program. I believe we had like 75 or 80 students at that one too.
Well, this has been a great interview with Ms. Sheila from the Maurice Lucas Foundation. This is James and Josiah signing off.
I'm Leslie and Rivera here with Chilahosas Freelander. We are part of the radio student staff of KBPS. We're talking about the OSAA announcement where high school students are now able to make money off their name, image, and likeness. We interviewed students and coaches if they heard and their opinion on the announcement. Here are the interviews.
Leslie, and I'm here with
Charity.
And have you heard about the OSAA NIL deal?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I just feel as though student athletes should really be proud of this new rule, because like, if it's not for, if we don't get our names out there by whatever way they trying to do it, how else will we get our names out there? There's a lot of student athletes out here that's really got good potential and like don't nobody know them because like everybody just focus on the most popular people type. So mm-hmm. if we get paid and all that, we gonna be great.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
All right, thank you. I'm Leslie Ann, and I'm here with the girls basketball coach at Benson,
Dexter Lasore.
And have you heard about the OSAA NIL deal?
Yes, I have.
And how do you feel on the situation?
Honestly, I think it's a great idea. I think kids should be able to make money off their likeliness just because the colleges do the same thing and they don't pay the players who promote their school or have been highly touted out of high school. So it's only right that they get paid. NCAA has made a lot of money on college students, from video games to jersey sales to whatever they promote at their school for their athletes. So I think it's only right that students are able to make this, get paid as well. So I think it's a great idea. I would tell students to take full advantage of the opportunity and get what you can while you can.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Leslie Ann, and I'm here with
Michaela McNary.
And have you heard about the OSAA NIL deal?
Yes, I had heard about it previously. It is very interesting, especially as a coach and a former high school athlete. But it's definitely something that's like new, exciting, also a little bit confusing. So it's very interesting right now.
and how do you feel on it?
I think that there's a lot of stuff that needs to be taken into consideration when we think about this new NIL rule, NIL deal situation. One of the things that was really interesting to me is that the specific rules that they put in place. So for those of you who don't know, NIL stands for name, image, likeness. So previously, high school athletes and even some college athletes were unable to make money based on any sort of advertisements or anything that used their name, image, or like a cartoon version of themselves, so likeness, which was really unfair at the college level because colleges were making a lot of money off of college athletes and selling their jerseys with their names on the back of them, creating advertisements with those athletes in them, and those athletes saw none of that money. So when that change at the college level happened, I thought that that was a great idea. But the same situation doesn't necessarily apply to high schoolers. High school sports, they're not making money off of the athletes. So it doesn't, some of those things don't make as much sense to me of changing those rules for athletes to monetize their name, image, and likeness based on the same justification. I don't necessarily think that it's wrong, but I think that the justification should be different for the high school level than for the college level. And I don't know about other adults, but I'm not going to be walking around with like a high schooler's last name on my back. Like, I'm not going to go buy a jersey that says, you know, whoever's name, that's a 17-year-old child. Like, that just seems weird to me. So for the high schoolers themselves, it seems great. But yeah, it's just, it's a lot. And then I'm torn in two different directions because when I was in high school, I was an athlete, but I also got a modeling contract. And one of the companies that kept, or a couple of the companies that kept wanting to use me in their ads were Nike and Adidas. But if I wanted to be eligible to play my sports, or if I wanted to be able to play sports in college, I was not able to work with those companies because I was doing something athletic and getting paid for it. Now, as long as high school athletes aren't wearing their high school jerseys or OSAA logos, I believe they are able to do things like that, which is great, and it won't interfere with their eligibility in high school or college athletics. But there are only two athletes in Oregon right as of right now who have NIL deals. And one of them is a student from West Lynn, and the other is a female student athlete. And I don't know much about them, but one of the things that stands out to me is that I think that we need to be a little bit more ethical in the way that we pursue NIL deals at the high school level, in terms of who are we trying to benefit the most, and we still need to keep kids at the center of this. And if we have kids who are amazing athletes and might not have the same access to college out, like if they are relying on their sports to pay for their college, maybe those are the students that we should be looking to create NIL deals for, as opposed to students who regardless would be able to pay for their college based on generational wealth or something else along those lines. If they have those means already, there are plenty of student athletes in the state of Oregon who could greatly benefit from a $5,000 contract with a apparel company who struggle right now to make ends meet or don't know how they're going to pay for college if they don't get a sports scholarship or something else along those lines. And I think that we really need to take that into consideration when kids are getting NIL deals right now and trying to make sure that we do it in a way that benefits the students who really need it and who are putting in so much extra time to developing their skill in their sport that I don't really know where I'm going with that. But basically, when it has to do with children, minors, we need to be way more ethical, or at least keep ethics in mind, at the forefront of our mind when we are creating these rules or offering NIL deals to children compared to people who are already adults and are already getting their livelihoods supported in some way. So that was a lot. I'm done talking now. Unless you have a follow-up question.
Thank you for listening to these interviews and the many opinions of this announcement. I am Chelsea Osfinier, here with Leslie and Rivera, and the KPS Student Center. Signing off.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
We're here with a very special guest who's in studio with us. His name is Shay, and he is a Portland Public School graduate of class of 2021. And you're here at Benson today working with one of our science teachers, Mr. Heigelke, on this really cool project. And Mr. Heigelke put an announcement in the bulletin that I read out to the students every morning, and I was immediately fascinated by what I read in the bulletin. And the little announcement in the bulletin says that, Shay, you are using drones to help save endangered rhinos in Africa.
That is exactly right, yeah.
Wow, that, first of all, that's mind-blowing. It's super cool. Great use of the technology. Tell us how this came about. How did you come up with this idea, and how does it work?
Well, it wasn't just me. This idea was kind of started by a family friend, National Geographic photographer. She had the idea about a year ago to maybe incorporate drones into conservancy. But we had no idea where to start. After thinking about it a lot more seriously, over the year, we kind of came up with a plan and made it happen.
One of my other students, one of our current radio students, James, is here. James, do you have a question for Shay you want to ask?
Yeah. So when do you think they might be having more uses for drones in the future?
Well, there's a lot of drone usages that are, you know, kind of just extending to every industry, every year. So just in the past few months, I've heard about people using drones for organ transplants from hospital to hospital. I've heard about, obviously, the Amazon delivery packages are going to be coming into effect soon. There's just countless uses of drones, and that's why they're so valuable today.
Cool. I'm sorry, James. So real quick, Shay, can you explain how these drones are helping rhinos in Africa? How does that work?
Yeah, so basically, at the conservancy that we were focusing on, they have to count the rhinos every 4 days. They have to do a total head count. There's about 150 rhinos that they have to count. So traditionally, that's done on foot, but that is a very difficult task to achieve on foot because it's a 140 square mile area to cover. So with the drones, we're going to be able to just do it from an aerial perspective, and it's just going to speed up everything.
Also, could you maybe give anyone any tips in case they ever want to get into the droning hobby?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So if you're a drone hobbyist, then you're already halfway there. Half the way to being a drone pilot is just loving the sport of flying drones. After that, you might want to think about getting your license, your commercial drone license from the FAA. And then after that, you could start working for a company, or you could even make your own company.
Shay, I know our time is limited. I've got a class waiting for me to jump in and teach, and you've got a job interview you're getting ready to run over to. Is there a website that you can share with us where maybe one of our listeners is going, wow, this is really cool that you're using this drone technology to save endangered species around the world? Is there a website that folks can go to check out more information?
Yeah, I will have some information on my website shortly. My website is StevensMediaLLC.com, and that's Stevens with a PH.
So STEPHENS Media.
Stevens Media LLC, yep, .com.
LLC.com. Shay, thank you so much for coming in. James, was there any last final question you wanted to ask Shay?
Not really. This is basically it. But is there anything else that you might think the viewers might want to know?
Well, I want the viewers to know that they're going to be seeing a lot more drones in the future, and to not be scared of them, just know that something good is probably happening.
Also, do not shoot at drones. People have shot at this drone before, so don't.
I want to say, you know, as someone that would love to save rhinos, I don't know if I want to get too close to one. So I think this is a great idea. Keep up the great work, and thank you so much for coming by KBPS and sharing it with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Despite what you might think, the only reason why they're dangerous is because of their horrible eyesight. I've heard them being mostly described as basically just giant puppy dogs with thick skin and really bad eyesight.
And one gigantic horn.
Good morning. My name is Jacob Patterson. I'm the KBPS radio broadcasting instructor at Benson High School. This next segment is a showcase of a special project that was completed by our sophomores in the Communication Design Academy pathway here at Benson High School. What we do in the Communication Design Academy pathway is teachers work together to develop collaborative projects that students work in all of their classes. And we're learning with these collaborative projects that it really helps to reinforce the lessons, techniques, and skills that we're trying to teach students. For example, this project we call Pin Drop. How the Pin Drop project works is it starts in English class, where students write about a person or a place in our community that's significant to the student. Students finalize the writing piece in English class and then take it to their multimedia classes. In digital media, students create an image that represents the person or place or their story that they wrote about. Then students can go to photography and take pictures that are related to their person or place that they wrote about. In video production, students can produce a short film that's related to their person or place. And here in radio broadcasting at KBPS, I have students record their stories and try to incorporate what that person or place they wrote about sounds like. And if students are able, they go out and get sound recordings of that person or place. So now we'd like to share with you a handful of these Pin Drop projects that were produced by KBPS students here at Benson High School. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy.
We found trees grouped splitting out from the center. It was a perfect spot for a new fort. Raleigh and Ellery are the ones who thought of it. If me and my brother could get along like that, we would have already built enough forts for a village. As we carry the branches and bark to our new place, I can already see the results of our hard work in taking in all of my brother's whining. We finished a little faster than expected, so we had a little house on the side for Magic Beans to stop by. We can't let them stay for too long because they can be dangerous and annoying, but they clean things and leave treats for us when visiting. I don't know why they do it. The forest feels nice and quiet, yet unsafe and stressful. Now I can hear yelling. The closest thing to trees is my succulents eating up my stress. The magic beans have stayed for too long, and now they're upset. My room is gray even with the sun out. Everyone is at school, and I'm here wishing I was in the forest.
Let me tell you a story in the wonderful land, the tale as tall as time. A place up this hill, a place by the grass. Yes, let me tell you the tale of Benson High. Yes, this was the hill, grassy and tall, where we fled the dean. You see this building, how it's so very tall, so very lean? We climbed up here before having to flee. The view was great, the sky was clear, not a cloud to be seen. I could hear the wind wailing, and then we saw the dean. She was staring us down, knives flew from her eyes. We started to scream and to shout. Who is she calling? Our parents? The guards? We jumped from the roof, pompous and tall, a building as old as time. And as we scattered, and as we ran, we wished we could stop, look back, and save that moment in time.
I'd like to talk about a few places in our community. The reason I'm talking about these places is that they're important. They're milestones in our life, places that we visit. They're places we've grown or changed as people, and I think that's really important. And I've written a bit of a long story about some of these places that I've been in, and I'd like to tell you them. So,
trailers. I've lived in a lot of trailers, and I'll probably live in one for the rest of my life. The one I remember best is the one that I lived in the longest. It is small, or I remember it so small, that if you took out all of the cupboards and desks in almost any classroom, in almost any school, in almost any place, maybe even cleared out the singing lights, you could fit at least 7.5, counted it on my fingers as a sort of test and grade for new classes and spaces almost all of middle school, in it. But the size made it easier to move around, and easier to heat and cool, as well as making it harder to get stuck. The small and cool walls muted it all. It had 3 sections, a top bed area, so I had a good height away from the floor, and that was closest to where the trailer would be tacked up to the truck, where one could have put a bed, but instead we put bins, pans, and any other thing collected along the way, and below that, my mom slept. She made a bed by laying a bunch of bins under a large plywood sheet, the kind that is made from thin wooden scales flattened into splinter-inducing shapes that I will never touch if I have the choice to. Then had a blow-up mattress put on top of it, whilst I, nearer to the back of the trailer, slept in a little corner surrounded by open cupboards stacked to the brim with porcelain dolls and other knick-knacks that were either lost or buried over the years. The rest of it was walking space and more cupboards. Now that the little thing is gone, tucked away into a cupboard of its own, I miss its cramped and cold smell. Everything else is too warm, too filled with summer roads and flies. It was so easy to be quiet in that place. Everything else is too loud. Now, that's the end of my story. Very long, and I did say it was. So now I'll be recording a bit of a mock-up for what some of those places sounded like. Now, of course, I don't live in any of those places, and I doubt I could track them down, as most of them were destroyed or were very random. But instead, I'll just be recording sounds of my normal house for about, let's say, a minute. Look high out!
My favorite moment was at Rose City Comic Con. I've only been 4 times, but dang, it was fun as ever. I've met so many cool people and took pictures with many people as well, and I've even exchanged contact with new friends. When I walked in, I smelled all the different sorts of food that people walked by and had, from chicken strips and fries to burgers and fries and all sorts of other foods. And more into the exhibit halls, well, to be honest, it smelled like sweat because of all the walking around and the sweaty cosplays, but you get used to it. I feel like I'm my best self there because I felt confident in my cosplay, and as it turns out, I share cosplays and even interests with many more people than I expected. Still not judging, because it was great. I don't meet many people who like what I like. I'm typically used to people judging my interests, like Dream SMP or Hell of a Boss, but it's nice to meet people who have the same interests for a change. As I'm walking around with my new friends and my growing friend group, we went to this one cafe with really good drinks and smoothies. Yes, it was a 30-minute line for a medium strawberry smoothie. Hell, it was worth the wait. Although half the group started to descend to the grill across the exhibit hall, then we lost them. Either way, in conclusion, Comic-Con is great, and it's definitely where I'm my best self, and I'm not afraid to show my best self and not be judged, instead joined by my gremlin-like behavior.
I'm familiar with how these rides can go. The bumpy roads that violently shake the flimsy blue seats. The hard seats that after a long trip somehow start to feel like a grand sofa. The beeps and exhaust that releases every stop. The vents at the very back that suck hair up. Saying I'm familiar doesn't mean that everything's expected. I never expect who I see. I see different people from all over the city. Thousands of stories I'll never get a chance to hear all of.
I feel my best when I'm in my living room at night. While I'm in there, someone is in the kitchen as I can hear the spoon hitting the bowl while they eat, like waves of water hitting the land at the beach. I even get to smell what they're eating. In the living room, there's a leather couch which is always ice cold as camping in the forest at night. I slowly lay on the couch and felt the leather cool my skin. As I sink onto the couch, I might hear rustling from my dog's bed as she gets up to get water or to change positions on her bed. She's paranoid when she tries to sleep and can wake up to anything like someone checking their pocket to make sure their phone is still there. My brother might be playing video games in the next door room. He's loud enough for me to hear him, and it might be a roller coaster of noise. He could be yelling, then just immediately he could just start to be quiet. Often there's a faint purple LED light I can see in the other living room because it's too dark in my house at night. Sometimes I might want to take a nap. I'm able to feel my body start to shut down like a computer turning off. My eyes begin to weigh as a ton as I get sleepy, unable to keep my eyes open for too long. As I fall asleep, I always wake up because I'm too tall for the couch.
On the boulder, suspended only by my hands against the rough holds, my tendons straining. The air smelled of chalk and of sweat. Despite my best efforts, I fell to the ground onto the soft mats, accompanied by the typical thwoom. Though I failed, I tried again and again. At last, I found myself near the top, having overcome the biggest hurdle. Mere feet away, I stretched my arm. Cold sweat dripping down, and grasped the final hold. Atop the boulder I stood, 15 feet above the ground. There are no stairs down.
There was a time when Mom was gardening in the backyard and a big nutria came out of nowhere. The nutria started to eat the plants and vegetables my mom grew. It looked cute and its eyes sparkled while eating the sour leaf. Every time I looked through the door to my backyard to see the nutria, it would be there. Then one day I found out that the nutria was becoming a mother because her belly got bigger. A few days later, I saw 3 baby nutrias in my backyard eating the vegetables my mom grew. The baby nutrias always stuck together, which reminded me of my 2 older sisters and I. I would also go outside in my backyard and listen to them munching on the sour leaf. Whenever I go to my backyard, I see the nutrias and hear them munching on the sour leaf like a bunny chewing its carrot. I'd even pull a piece of spearmint in my mom's garden and taste the cooling of the mint. In my background, I could smell the aroma of jasmine flowers and hear birds chirp when they come by. Unfortunately, the three baby nutrias' mother passed away, which is heartbreaking. But I'm so happy that the 3 nutrias stayed together.
I'm Ian Jill for Communication Design Academy at Benson. The place that I want to talk about in my community is Bakersfield, California. The reason why I'm talking about this place is because I was born there. Here's a story about my place. California by My Angel Shaw. During the summer, the grass would shine so bright under the sun. I was blinded by how bright they were. It was like wheat, but unedible. I love the golden grass of California, the crisp air of pollution and burned wood. The aura of fire burns my nostrils and moistens my neck. The fire reminds me of screams and terrors from none other than the wood itself and living that are engulfed by it. I pass a dead village of dead trees whenever I travel home to my family in Bakersfield. I feel deeply saddened. I miss my people, my uncles, aunts and cousins. I miss the normalization of heavy weather. California, the land of golden grass. My home is surrounded by sand. It's an oasis, a dry and shriveled oasis. I remember the rivers filled with water that are now bare. The trees I used to chill in during lunchtime were cut down or burned. Nothing is truly the same as when I was 5 years younger. It's not as damp as in the previous years. No, I don't feel nice cold breezes anymore. And no, I don't hate the hot air. I am actually in love with it. I love to see coyotes at night and jumping kangaroo mice in the evening. They would gather together, those mice. The coyotes, not so much. They would normally remind me of lone wolves with comrades. The tumbleweeds would make me laugh as they passed my vision. This town's not big enough for the two of us, I would patronize. They made me recall the SpongeBob movie my family watched together on a pirated CD. I used to watch SpongeBob continuously with my aunt on the floor. The coldest it's been is only frost in the morning. I would wear a puffer jacket in the winter because the weather was too cold for me at the time. I still haven't changed my mind. The winter is still cold. Oregon's weather is even more freezing. I can't possibly get used to it. Even 5 years have passed since I've moved. The cold is unnecessarily deadly to my warming heart. It's like blizzards to my body. The cold could cause my body to shiver uncontrollably. Back in California, the heat would only get higher throughout the day. The afternoons were the best part of it all. The sun blaze, the warmth activated what seemed to be sweat. But I never sweat like how the athletes did. They were sweating nothing but buckets. Mind you, get out of the field, I've been patronized. Mind you, promise me you won't get in our game. I've promised, but I have not kept. Afternoons in California were special. My skin boiled like mother's chicken noodle soup. Don't get me wrong, it was indeed terrible. But what's different about this weather is that I enjoyed it. No better weather than the heat. I remember always chilling under the patios for shade and coolness. My friends are waiting for the computer lab to open up for lunch. We all cry for winter to surface, but day by day it never welcomed itself. I miss the longing for rain. Oh, the rarity of the trickling symphony. I miss the excitement it gave me. There's nothing better than to sit inside a rainy day. Back in California, when it was the end of the day at elementary school, "Let's run," a mature voice called out to me. I could only giggle. I rushed into the car all soaked, wondering if I'll ever be dry again. Nowadays, nobody hovers under shelter anymore. I have evolved to never cover my head to the raindrops. I miss the peace rain gave me. I got it all too used to its wetness. California? It doesn't rain in California. No, it does. Not in the farthest parts of the southeast. I recall only playing with the hose outside and Barbies indoors. It was likely both. Me and my sisters just swallowed up in our imaginations. Under the rain, it was murder week. The rain was most exciting to me. I wanted to see it pour nonstop. Oh, sitting down and watching Clue on Halloween after bagging a whole block of possibly expired candy. Last year, I only stayed home and had a small party outdoors. It wasn't all that exciting, just staying home, eating candy. We didn't even watch a movie. Oregon, it's one of those places where they have all types of weather. I wouldn't say it's predictable without a weather check. You can never know what it would be like the next day. I layered like cakes just to avoid the shivering in the winters. It's quite scary to approach my birthday. Oh, I had to layer like a penguin. It was petrifying when you couldn't see miles around you due to the fog. What's worse is the frostbite between your nails trying to catch your bus in the morning. It would take only 2 minutes for the sickness to overcome you. My family calls it sick season. I call it hell. Imagine being sick on your birthday. I wouldn't want to be. Oregon hasn't had its best first impression on me, but I still enjoy its peaceful scenery, its tourist attractions and cafes. Oregon, I now live in an entirely different state. It was a different culture compared to California. A variety of different mentalities are welcome to me. It is extremely cold in the winter, more extreme than the winters in my home state. Whenever I look around, I don't feel surrounded by mountains like the old valley. I can't drive 2 minutes just to see my family. I can't go next door to my family's house anymore. Things are different, but it's okay. I have accepted not having the opportunities that I was given before. The feeling of despair and absence reoccurred to me, reminding me that I wasn't born here like everyone else. I don't feel connected to Oregon like my friends do. Oh, I like my living. I love to try new things. I love the greenery. My mother became a plant mom. Life is good in Portland. People are odd here, not as odd as in the previous years. I think I just got used to it. Autumn is one of my favorite seasons in Oregon. I do like California Bakersfield, but it's time to let the past go.
Again, you've been listening to a special project called Pin Drop that was produced by KBPS sophomores in the Communication Design Academy pathway here at Benson Polytechnic High School. Thanks for listening to KBPS on PRP.
Hey, this is Oscar Kerman. Today I'm here with Owen, Kayvon, and Obi. You guys want to introduce yourself and say hi?
Yeah, hi, I'm Owen. I go to Benson, and we're about to be talking about some shoes.
Hey, I'm Kayvon with KBPS and Portland Radio Project. I got Cartier glasses on.
Hey, I'm joining Oscar, Owen, and Kayvon today. My name's Obi. I'm a construction major at Benson High School, and we're going to be talking about some shoes today.
Nice. Today we are, the main topic is the Air Jordan Lost and Founds.
Ooh.
Man, what a shoe.
Just released the...
re-released.
They're the Air Jordan 1 Highs in the Chicago colorway, but they have a few special things about them. Kayvon, you want to talk about them?
Well, for one, like the day or two after they, you know, re-released, they already went up in price to like, what, $500, $600?
Yeah, and I got a pair for $180 on the sneakers app, but they, like you said, the price already is going up. Obi, you have anything to say about them?
Yeah, I'm looking at SockX right now, and they've been going down in price.
That's actually good.
By the end of the year, I think someone will be able to get them for $350, likely.
That's pretty good. You know, it's more accessible to more people. I don't know if you guys heard, but I saw this on Instagram and Twitter, a few other stuff, about the mold problem with them.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about
that. Specifically on size 10.5 to 15, only on those pairs, through those sizes, mold would be growing on the cracked leather on the upper.
Can these people like get another pair or anything, or how does that work when they have mold on their shoe?
Well, Nike was offering refunds, but they were not replacing the shoes. So their alternative people, if they got it moldy, they were cleaning them and then reselling them on StockX at kind of a lower price. So I think that might be what's causing the dip right now in the price, because you know, they were $600, $700 right as the release came out. And I believe since a lot of pairs got mold, you know, people are just, you know, cleaning the mold off, trying to get them out of their hands as quick as possible.
Well, us at KBPS and Portland Radio Project, we are going to research what is making those shoes moldy for you guys.
Owen, you have any thoughts to say?
Man, mold on shoes. What is wrong with Nike as a corporation today? They're really lazy nowadays. Like, their shoes just aren't up to par as what they used to be. In my personal opinion, I feel like Nike could be doing a lot better at, you know, just making their shoes more wearable and, you know, just more higher quality. Like, I don't see why this dip in quality is happening now when Nike has been, you know, doing so well before. Financially, yeah, exactly. Literally financially.
Yeah.
They're like one of the biggest brands basically ever for shoes, so I don't know why they don't have the money to spend on making their shoes quality.
To piggyback off what Owen said, a couple pairs this year have been seeing a lot of mold. A lot of the Jordan 4s that have released this year.
Purple ones?
The 4s? Oh, yeah.
The Amamaniers, a lot of those pairs actually got mold.
Yeah, I saw a cousin of mine got them.
Did he get mold on them?
Yeah, he got mold on them, yeah.
That is crazy. That's crazy. Did Nike do anything? Give him a refund?
No, bro, they don't care.
Other shoes releasing, I think around December 28th, the Air Jordan 2 Chicagos should be coming out, too. These are very popular.
Twos are, I'd like to say, my favorite, Jordan. You know, and I think they're underrated for what they should be. I think they're a very nice just shoe, you know?
Yeah, my personal favorite, I like the Air Jordan 3s, 15s, and 5s. Those are personal favorites. Kayvon, what about you?
Me personally, I would either go with some 1s or 4s. 3s are actually also very nice, and an underrated shoe, in my opinion, are probably the 10s. Not a lot of people talk about Jordan 10s.
Yeah, true. 10s are really nice. Obi, you?
Yeah, personally, I think I had to lean towards the Jordan 4s right now. They're really comfy. But if I were to go fully off looks, maybe the Jordan 1s edge it on that. But I think don't seem to talk about the Jordan 5s.
Yeah.
Jordan 5s are really nice.
Jordan 5s are really comfortable, too. Speaking really of Jordan 5s, the DJ Khaled just came out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My dad was actually able to hit a pair of the, I believe the colorway is called the Crimson Bliss. Those are the only ones available to the public. The other three are friends and family colorways.
And with us right now is Oscar Batistez. Hello. He's got a pair of these new Lost and Found Jordans. What can you say about these Jordans?
They're really comfortable. I like them. And the one thing I would say is the insoles are white. So make sure to swap out your insoles and put something dark because you don't want to stain or you don't want to make your insoles grimy.
Oscar just said that. Yeah. Okay. So that's Oscar's input. And, you know, I feel like this has been a good talk about some Jordans, you know.
I think
we should wrap this up now.
I think we could be back next week and, you know, dropping some sneaker news, what shoes came out recently.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Thank you guys for joining us. This has been Oscar, Owen, and
Kayvon.
Obi.
Yep. Thank you guys for joining us on this week's PRP.
All alone, I want somebody to take me home. Bring on the party. Turn me on and get to know me. Like what you see, yeah, I'll set you free. Fatal lights coming down.
Hello, this is Ariana Maya
and Oscar Bautista,
and today we are going to be talking about the new Meghan Trainor album. Her new album is called Taking It Back. She just released. So Oscar, from the songs we heard, what do you think about it?
Listen, Ariana, this song reminds me of back the old Meghan Trainor days, 2015. Up bouncy beat, and I really enjoy the melody. Like a throwback to me, Ariana.
I enjoyed the songs because of how she made women more comfortable about their bodies and how they show respect.
The songs are called Don't I Make It Look Easy and Made You Look. Let's listen to them now.
Don't I make it look easy, baby, when I do what I do. Don't I make it look easy, baby, huh? I'm fooling you. I just posted a picture, read all the comments, hearty the good ones, if I'm being honest, I might have spent an hour on it, you won't ever see me cry, cause I've got a filter for every single lie, don't I make it look easy, baby, when I do what I do. But you don't know I'm up all night. Worry about my body type. I wonder if I'm what they like. But I should just forget it, right? Don't
with my Gucci on. I go with my Louis Vuitton. But even with nothing on, bet I made you look. I'll make you double take soon as I walk away. Call up your chiropractor just in case your neck break. Ooh, tell me what you gon' do. Ooh. Cause I'm about to make a scene, double up that sunscreen. I'm about to turn the heat up, gonna make your glasses steam. Ooh, tell me what you gon' do. Ooh. When I do my walk, my Gucci on. I go with my Louis Vuitton. But even with nothing on, bet I made you look.
I made you look.
Yeah, I look good in my Versace dress. But I'm hotter when my morning hair's a mess. Cause even with my hoodie on, bet I made you look.
I made you look.
Mm-hmm. And once you get a taste, you'll never be the same. This ain't that ordinary. This that 14 karat cake. Ooh, tell me what you gon' do.
One source said, writing the ups and downs, we are all secretly experiencing moments of bursting confidence to self-doubt and sadness with a sparkle of reassuring reality.
For example, the song, Don't I Make It Look Easy, she talks about processing the truth and showing the best part in herself. When it feels like a straight-out lie and not as confident, which is something that a lot of people do on social media when it comes to influencers not actually telling the truth.
Another song that could be said is Made You Look. Megan talks about how not a lot of chubby people out there in the music artistry and how they should be known for who they really are. She also talks about how women should have body positivity to others, not just themselves.
I really like this album and I hope you guys listen to it and enjoy it as well.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of The Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.